Brilliance Audio.
Beachcombers by Nancy Thayer. Performed by Sarah Molo Christensen. For whatever we lose, like a you or a me, it's always ourselves we find in the sea. E.E. Cummings, Maggie and Millie and Molly and May. Before. Look, their mother said to them. It was late October, and Danielle had brought her daughters here to Surfside, the beach that faced, unprotected by bulkhead or harbor or jetties, the immense sweep of the Atlantic Ocean. The water was sulky today, deep blue and aloof, the erratic autumn wind stirring its surface into restless waves. By now, the girls knew how the ocean had its moods. On summer days, it would be playful, sparkling, seductive, tossing up its lacy foam with sounds like kisses. In November, it would hiss as the tides spat and sank into the sand, dragging cold nets of froth back into its hungry depths, as if the sea itself were hunting. Winter made it warlike, hurling its waves toward the shore in battalions that rose up and thundered down, carrying the shrieking wind on its back. And when the skies were blue and the wind was mild, the ocean would shine, as if deep within, its own blue sun glowed. Whatever the weather, the surf always brought treasures. Their mother had taught them that. It was their mother who started the Beachcombers Club. The universe is always speaking to us, Danielle told her daughters, sending us little messages, causing coincidences and serendipities, reminding us to stop, to look around, to believe in something else, something more. And those of us who are lucky enough to live surrounded by the ocean have more opportunities than many to see, to know. You have to be willing to step away from what we consider normal life. You have to have imagination. You have to be aware that we're all part of a wonderful, mysterious game. They came to the beach at least once a week, no matter the season or weather. They stalked the edge of the beach, the mother and her three daughters, heads bent forward as they scanned the sand, stopping when someone discovered a prize, and usually they tossed their finds back into the watching waters, but occasionally they slipped the rock or shell or glass into their bags to take back to their house on Fair Street. At home, they'd gather around the kitchen table and wait until their mother had set out cups of hot chocolate frothy with marshmallows, or lemonade tinkling in icy glasses. Their mother would sit at the head of the table. She was the ultimate judge, and the girls would present their discoveries, a mussel shell with the glossy indigo iridescence of a starling's head, a broken whelk, its interior twisted into a perfect spiral staircase, as smooth as bone, a flat square of blue glass, like a pane of summer sky fallen to earth. Sometimes a human object, the handle of a translucent china teacup, a bracelet or hair clip or keychain, a bottle. They'd hand their treasures around, then vote to see which one was the best, and the winning find was proudly placed between the cookbooks, on the lowest shelf so little Lily could see, until a new find was brought in. The unchosen ones were usually returned to the beach the next week, but a surprising number of them remained in the house. The windowsills of each girl's bedroom were littered with ocean trophies. Abby, who was the oldest and wisest, might go into a tidying fit and decide to clean her room and toss it all out, and then she would spot a rock, thinking, "This is only a funny old rock. There are zillions of them on the beach." But when she picked up the rock, she would suddenly remember why she kept it, because of the way it fit into her hand like a secret promise or the weight of safety. And she kept another rock, the white one, because it was marked with a crooked blue-gray vein, like a scribbled message she was sure to interpret someday, if only she had patience. Emma liked slipper shells. Turned upside down, they became cradles for her
Sample complete. Ready to continue?